Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 11? Take Luke chapter 11 with one hand, and take John chapter 14 in one hand. I appreciate you watching the broadcast, and I hope it's some sort of a blessing to you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is, if you're not saved by grace through faith, I hope that I'll be able to say something to you that will stir you up and bring you under conviction, and make you come to realize that you need Jesus Christ more than you need food. You need Jesus Christ more than you need a house to live in, and on. And I want to make clear to you the fact that Jesus Christ has already done all the work that needed to be done to get you saved, to get you out of this world and get you to heaven is not your problem. It's the problem of God. And since God knew that, He gave Christ to Calvary in order that He could redeem you. And every individual that will believe in Christ as their Savior, every sinner that will trust Christ as their Savior, God knew that they would trust Christ as their Savior. God, before the foundation of the world, knew the day you would be born. He knows the day you'll leave this world. Nothing is hid from Him. And knowing that, He gave Christ at Calvary to pay for all your sins. So salvation is free to you. Men today are trying to straighten the world out. In many cases, they're walking up and down the sidewalks with signs, trying to make it a better world and all these kind of things. Somebody is always demonstrating about something. And I've been told all my life, how to make our government better is to vote the people out that are in there and vote in some more, and all the time we're going downhill. Everything is getting worse all the time. As the Bible said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, truth breakers, false, accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, and on and on and on. And that's the way it is. So what's the moral of that? The moral of that is that God Almighty never called us to straighten the world out. God never called any preacher in this age to make it a better world to live in. God Almighty called preachers to preach the gospel of Christ. God Almighty sent preachers that they might preach to the blind eternal light in Christ. Paul was sent by the Lord. God never said, go into some town and organize a bunch of people to get together and go over in front of such and such a building and demonstrate all that. God never told him any such thing of that. God Almighty said, I have sent thee to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified, and on and on. And a preacher's job is to preach the gospel. A preacher's job is to make clear that Christ died for sins. A preacher's job is to make men understand that they were born in sin and they are now sinners, and that there are no goodness in them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there is none that are good. There's none that are good, no, not one. He said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, that tells me something then. That tells me that if you're ever to get out of this world and get to heaven, there's only one way that it can be accomplished. And that is by trusting Christ as your Savior, believing that He paid for all your sins at Calvary. You can't do it by believing in Jesus and believing that He'll give you the power to live such a good life that one day God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come into the holy city. No, no, no. The wages of sin is death, and only one death will suffice. And that's the death of Christ at Calvary. Christ died for you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you were doing while you were there, your moral condition doesn't enter into the picture. It's whether you believe or don't believe. You're not going to go to hell for lying. People say, oh, I hear that all the time in my life. Well, you go to hell for lying, you know. Well, people don't go to hell for lying. They're going to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. Getting morally better will help things in your environment. They'll help you socially and whatever. But getting better morally won't get you to heaven. Only faith in Christ will do that. The only way that God is going to change your body and make it like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ is based upon your faith. That is, believing that Jesus Christ did in fact die for all your sins. He did in fact become your real sins at Calvary. He experienced the pain and the suffering for your sins. All your sins were laid on him. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with sinners. He was numbered with criminals. And he died the death of a criminal. Why? Because all of us are criminals. Our crimes are against God. And Christ bore our sins at Calvary. You can be saved. You don't have to walk the aisle and pray at the altar to get saved. You don't have to be baptized in water to get you saved. You don't have to join the church to get you saved. But there's one thing you must do. You cannot be saved other than by one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is no other means of salvation for anybody today outside of trusting an event that took place at Calvary. What took place? A man, a literal human being, a man, took a literal cross upon his back and went to Calvary. And that cross was made for a robber. That cross was made for a murderer and a thief. That cross was made for a sinner. You're the sinner. And yet Jesus Christ became so identified with you that the Bible said he took his cross. The cross that should have been mine, the cross that should have been yours, the Bible said was his. He became so well identified with us in our sins. Not that he committed any. He never committed any wrong. But he became so identified by God as the sacrifice for our sins that your cross became his cross. Barabbas, the thief and the robber that was there when Jesus was judged, the cross of Barabbas stood there. But Barabbas didn't die on it. It was his cross, but he didn't die on it. Christ took that cross and went to Calvary, and it's called his cross. You can be saved if you'll believe that. If you'll believe that Jesus paid for all your sins, put your confidence in him, put your trust in him. He's the one that counts. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible said he delivered him up for us all. That whosoever, that's you, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, as a possession, have, right now, eternal life. Would you trust him as your Savior? We've been talking to you about prayer. And we want to continue with that thought today. And we want you to understand that prayer is dispensational. I've got a chart up here, our standard ordinary chart. Like here, it would be like the baptism of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the crucifixion of Christ there, the book of Acts out here. Here would be Romans through Philemon. Over here, Hebrews through Revelation. In here is the dispensation. It's the time of grace. It's the time in which we live. to you. You cannot claim every promise in this Bible. You must rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there are a lot of people that have been discouraged and heartbroken because they tried to claim some promise in the Bible that God never offered them. And since God didn't do what they asked him to do, when it looked like he said he would, they became discouraged and wouldn't believe God anymore. Notice what the Bible said. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then he begins to teach them. Now go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is in the upper room. It is before, it is after the supper. Jesus has had the last supper with the apostles. Judas Iscariot has gone out into the night. It is before Christ. He's going to go with the 12, and he's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. It is immediately before his prayer of John chapter 17. And so they're still in that room, and he's talking to the apostles in there. And he says in verse 11, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the fair work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and he's talking to the apostles. He's not talking to 120 people at one time as in Acts 2. He's not talking to 500 brethren that saw him as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, saw him after his resurrection. He's talking to the apostles after the supper. There's only them there, nobody else. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Anybody that will read the Bible with an open and honest mind knows that nobody today is doing the works of Christ as he did them, nor are they doing greater works than he did. Notice in verse 12, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And there are those of you listening to me that you've asked thousands of things in the name of the Lord, and he hasn't done them, and he isn't going to do them. The promise was not made unto you in the first place. Quit trying to claim it. You can go on and try to claim it if you want, but you're going to end up heartache. There are promises of prayer unto you in this Bible other than this. Notice, in John chapter 15, he's still talking to the apostles now. I'm not saying these are other promises to you. They're still dealing with the apostles. In John 15, verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Look in verse 16. John 15, verse 16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit may remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Those promises are absolute, they're positive, and they're clear. Look in chapter 16. In John 16, verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And on it goes. Now, how can this be? Well, Jesus told these men in Acts chapter 1, as John baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He died. Later on, he ascended up to heaven. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that he received of the Father the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 2, he baptized the apostles with the Holy Ghost. He told them in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So these men had special power. They had special authority. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. they were filled with the Holy Ghost, as in Acts chapter 2. They were empowered by the Holy Ghost. They were led in a special way by the Holy Ghost. Compare, please, 1 John. Go to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2. All you people that are always trying to claim all the promises of 1 John in 1 John chapter 2, look in verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of them abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in them. These men had no need that they be taught. Why, he said in John, the book of John, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, and on, he'll speak of me. And so Jesus Christ baptized them with the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, the things they asked the Father in the name of the Lord, God the Father did unto them. Why? They asked nothing amiss. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were guided by the Holy Ghost. They were led by the Holy Ghost. But it is not the same for the saint of God today. The saint of God today is sealed by the Holy Spirit. But he is not empowered as they were by the Holy Spirit. We have the power in a book. We have the words of the Holy Ghost written down in a book. Please understand. In Acts chapter 2, there was no so-called New Testament. None of those books were written at that time. Matthew through Revelation had never been written. None of these things had been written at that time. They didn't have that at their disposal. They had only the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ had gone away. He was not there for them to ask him the questions and him answer those as he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was gone away, but they had the Holy Spirit. And they were led by the Holy Spirit. And being led by the Holy Spirit, they wrote down the words that we have in the Bible. And so we have the answers of the Holy Spirit written down in a King James Bible, Matthew through Revelation. If we want to know what the Spirit has to say today, we don't need to get off in a corner somewhere and meditate and think things. We need to read the Bible, study to show thyself approved unto God. Hey, work. You want to know what God Almighty has for you? Read your Bible. You want to know the answer to prayer? Read your Bible. The answers are in the book. They don't come floating around in the air with somebody whispering in your ear. If someone has been whispering in your ear, you better be careful. We must rightly divide the word of truth. The Apostle Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9. And the Apostle Paul also was baptized with the Holy Ghost. And Paul also had the signs of an apostle. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit so that Christ was manifest in his mortal body. This man, Paul, had a mission of going in areas where that had Christ gone and preached unto those people what Paul preached to them, Christ would have been stoned, but Christ could not have that happen to him. He had died the one death. He could not die again. And so he chose a man, Paul, to carry the message of grace. But he filled him with the Holy Ghost. So Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, wrote Romans through Philemon. If I want to know what God's got to say to me today, if I want to know his words to me today, I find them in Romans through Philemon. And so if I pray on the basis of his words to me, I can have what I ask for. Notice something, a comparison. Turn to Romans chapter 10. in Romans chapter 10, I notice in verse 9, Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now the word confess literally means to speak the same thing. It means to say the same thing. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, say the same things with my mouth that the Bible says pertaining to the Lord Jesus, I should be saved. What does the Bible in Romans to Philemon tell me about the Lord Jesus? Well, it tells me that he became sin for me. It tells me that him who knew no sin became my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, I can confess that. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. The Bible tells me in Romans 5 that he died for the ungodly. The Bible tells me that he died for the enemies of God. I can say with my mouth what's written down in a King James Bible. I can confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus Christ redeemed me by his blood. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for me at Calvary. The gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ for the sinner is that Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. You can be saved. Confess with your mouth the things that are written down for you in Romans through Philemon. Now, what am I getting at? Hey, beloved, you can have any promise God offered you in Romans through Philemon. The Bible says that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. My Bible said that he's the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He was sent to the Gentiles. All right? In this age then, in this age of grace, and he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Then I can claim anything that God offered me through the pen of the apostle Paul. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Christ in the apostle Paul, the Spirit, empowering Spirit of Christ himself, was in Paul, writing down the words of Romans to Philemon. Therefore, I can claim anything that I find in there. Any and anything about prayer in Romans to Philemon, I can have, like confessing. Say the same thing. If God told you in Romans 3, Philemon, that you could lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, then you can do it. But he didn't tell you that. If God told you in Romans 3, Philemon, that you can lay your hands on top of somebody's head and charge the devil to leave that person, then you can do it. But he didn't tell you that. If God tells you in Romans 3, Philemon, to repent of your sins and be baptized for remission of sins, that he'll save you, you could do it and get saved. But he didn't tell you that. If God tells you in Romans 3, Philemon, that if you ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ, God will do it, then you can do that and claim it. But he didn't tell you that. If God tells you in Romans 3, Philemon, if you'll confess your sins, that he'll forgive you of your sins, then you can confess them and claim that forgiveness. But he didn't tell you that. What did he tell you about your sins? Well, look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, he said, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All my trespasses are forgiven. All my trespasses are paid for. All my trespasses have been dealt with. Jesus Christ died for all my sins. God dealt with my sins in AD 33. So I don't have to beg God to forgive me. I've seen men at an altar begging and pleading with God, won't you please forgive me? Oh, please forgive me. When God said your sins are forgiven you for Christ's sake. chapter 8, we've got something better than their offer in John 14 and whatever. We've got something better than that of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. You see, today, if this was to happen to you, you wouldn't know for sure whether you were being led of the Lord or the devil. If it was a matter of this speaking unto you, you wouldn't know who was speaking. Now, in Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one searches your heart. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that precious? Isn't that the greatest thing you ever heard? Jesus Christ died for you at Calvary, was buried, rose again, and is gone up. And notice in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than is he risen again, who's even the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I've got something better than the promise that if I ask anything in his name, he'll do it for me. I've got the promise that Jesus Christ is at